So the next verse number 36 is Arjuna's question. Arjuna uvacha.
Arjuna uvacha.
Atha kena prayuktoyam. Papam charati purushah.
Papam charati purushah.
Annichchanapi varshneya.
Annichchanapi varshneya.
Baladiva niyojitah.
Baladiva niyojitah.
Together. Arjuna uvacha. Atha kena prayuktoyam. Papam charati purushah. Annichchanapi varshneya. Baladivaniyojitah. So Arjuna uvach. So Arjuna said, Arjuna asked this question, and that is the beauty of the Hindu scriptures, that the student has the complete right to ask questions, to even to disagree with the teacher, of course, respectfully and logically. But if the student, there is a point that is not clear, or the student disagrees. In fact, in the sixth chapter, Arjuna tells Bhagavan Krishna, he says, this yoga of meditation, what you are talking about, I don't think it is practical. He tells the teacher, he says, I don't think what you are saying is practical. You know why? Because my mind is so chanchala. Chanchalam hi mana krishna pramadi balva dridam. The mind is so chanchal, I don't think I can sit and meditate. I don't think this path of meditation is of any use. So then of course Bhagavan tells him that why and how he can control his mind. Abhyase na tu kaunteya vairage na cha grihyate, with practice and with detachment. So the point is that in the scriptures, the student has the complete right. The teacher does not say, thou shalt follow it or thou shalt go to hell. There is nothing like that. Nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita, even after 700 verses, Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells Arjuna that what I have told, yat echasi tatha kuru. If you wish to follow, you follow. If not, you will suffer the consequences. Throughout the Gita, you will find his method of teaching is, if you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, that will happen. Choice is yours. So total freedom is given to the student to choose and to ask question. So here Arjuna asks this question. Atha, then, now, you know, now, atha, kena. Kena means by what? That's why there is a Kena Upanishad, which is one of the very famous, which says, kena, by what is this speech propelled? By what does the mind think? So by what does an individual act? So here, kena is the instrumental. By what prayukta? Prayukta means propelled. Prayukta is propelled. I am purusha. So this purusha. Purusha doesn't mean male. Purusha means this person, this individual. Kena prayuktoyam, propelled by what? I am purusham papam charati. So propelled by what is this individual committing sin? Papam charati. Charati means revels or stays in sin. So what is it that propels an individual to commit sin? Anichchanapi. Anichchan. Even though he does not desire it, he or she does not want to commit sin. Balat eva niyojita. As if by force he is propelled. The individual does not want to do the wrong thing, but it seems there is some external force that is propelling him. And we have very easy way of, why did I do the wrong thing? That person encouraged me, or this person told me, or my parents, or my upbringing, or devil. You know, that's another very beautiful one. There is God and there is devil, and devil made me do it. I did wrong, but there is some external force called devil or shaitan that is. So that is a very convenient way of getting out of what we are doing wrong. So here he uses the word varshneya. Varshneya is a very sweet word. Like Krishna calls Arjuna Kaunteya, you know, son of Kunti. So Varshneya means he belonged to the Vrishni family. And in the 10th chapter, he says, Vrishni Naam Vasudevosmi. So among the Vrishni family, I am Vasudev. And it is because of Bhagavan Krishna that the whole Vrishni family is blessed, is glorified. And people say, oh, you know what? He belonged to the Vrishni family. Like Ramchandra ji was born in Raghuvansh. So the whole Raghu dynasty is blessed by the arrival of. That's what they say. Or like a family where Swami Vivekananda was born, or Swami Chinmayananda, or Jesus. We remember his parents, you know, Joseph, I mean his mother Mary, and whoever, you know, took care of him. So the point is that by the arrival of these people, even the whole family gets blessed. So when he calls him Varshneya, that means you belong to the Vrishni family. So kena prayuktoyam, why does this individual commit sin even though he does not desire, as if balad eva, eva means as if propelled by an external force. So why is Arjuna asking? Because he is now introspecting. He is thinking to himself that why am I not able to do the right thing even though I have been told. And same thing for us. What we also need to do is introspect at the end of each day. You know, what I have studied in the Bhagavad Gita, am I applying it? If I have applied it, how have I applied it? If I have not applied, how can I apply it in my life? It should be done daily. It should be done every end of the week, end of the month, and end of the year. December 31st, one should definitely sit down and say, in this 1 year, have I come closer to God or not? Have I improved my life or not? So it should be done daily, weekly, monthly, and at the end of the year. So introspection, that if I am doing something wrong, why am I doing it and how can I correct it? So Arjuna is introspecting. He is thinking that yes, Bhagavan has said that I should do good, I should do my duty, I should help others, but why am I not able to do that? So we all want to live a divine life, but I am unable to. No, I try my best, but something happens and then I get angry and I shout at somebody, or I, you know, mistreat somebody, or I insult my employees, or I don't treat my children good. Something happens that propels me. What is it? Why do I do that? And then sin, wrong, can be of commission or of omission. One is I do something wrong. Another one is I don't do what I am supposed to do. I am supposed to do something and I don't do it out of laziness or out of forgetfulness or out of deliberate, just don't care attitude. Talking about sin of omission, not doing what you are supposed to do. So this student asks the teacher, teacher, will I be punished for what I haven't done? So teacher says, no, I won't punish you for what you haven't done. He said, good, I didn't do my homework. So there are sins of commission and sins of omission. So doing what I am not supposed to do is a sin, and not doing what I am supposed to do is also wrong, is also a sin. And as I said, we all want to do good, but something propels me to do the wrong thing. No matter how much I think, I resolve from tomorrow I won't get angry, I won't do this, I won't cheat, I won't lie, I won't hurt others. But for some reason, this happens where I am unable to do what is good and I end up doing what is wrong. Somebody asked Gurudev to Swami Chinmayananda ji to describe the sin, what is sin, and his is the most beautiful description. So I split it up. He said, sin is self-insulting action. So when you insult yourself, self-insulting, S-I-N. So why? Because I am divine. By nature, we are all divine. We are all, God is in every one of us. But when I perform an action that takes me away from my divine nature and brings the evil tendencies out in me, where it strengthens my likes and dislikes, where my behavior is wrong. So you are committing a self-insulting action. You are insulting a human, because the human has an intellect, and an intellect is supposed to be used for good. But when we don't do that, when we don't do what is good, then we are insulting our human race, and we are not using the intellect that has been given to us. And why do we do that? Again, raga and dvesha, likes and dislikes. It is what makes us do the wrong thing. I like something, so I want more and more and more. It doesn't matter how many people I lie to, how many people I cheat, how many people I hurt, how much dishonesty I do, but I must get what I want. And if something comes to me, and actually in life they say that what you like very much runs away from you, and what you dislike will chase after you. If there is a particular thing we like too much, we will lose it, and if something you dislike too much, it will come. So better is to remain sama, to remain balanced, to remain equanimous in both likes and dislikes. Example they give is like you have been hired for a company, and you have been given that these are your 5 jobs. So this, 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 and this, and this. So it's in your job description, and you're hired for these 5 particular things. So at the end of the year, December 31st or January 1st, your boss is evaluating you. Okay, you were supposed to do these 5 things. You only did 2. You didn't do the other 3. Why? I don't like those 3. But I have done 50 other things. You did those 50, but you were not supposed to do them. Somebody else is already doing those. You were supposed to do 5, but you only did 2 because you don't like 3. So that is a fault. That is wrong. That is a sin of omission. And doing somebody else's work is both wrong. So if you are given those 5 jobs, do them to the best of your ability. So that is the status. And bhayavahaha, as he says, swadharme nidhanam shreya, paradharmo bhayavahaha. So what Bhagavan is saying, that in the process of acquiring or learning or practicing, like I want to reach Atma, I want to become one with the divinity, even in the process I lose my life, it's okay, because my goal should be that. So in the process of doing my duty, even if it is painful, even if I don't enjoy it, even I would rather do somebody else's job, but wherever you are assigned, do it to the best of your ability. And trying to do somebody else's job is harmful, is bhayavaha. So don't do that. So do what you are assigned, do your duty, and whatever. So if also it is, dharma is also the station. Like if I am a student, then my job is to study. But in the student days, I decide to get married and become a grahastha and all. Well, that's what happens. We see so many times girls 14, 15, 16 getting pregnant, and it ruins their whole life. It's not for them a time to have children, and it is a time for them to study. So whatever station, and then if you have become a senior, and then you should think about retiring and think about, spending time with God, and at that time you get involved in worldly things or worry about, this and that and all. No, slowly. So whatever station you are in life, work according to that. So then Arjuna asks, why does a person do that? Even though knowing the right thing, even though not wishing to do the right thing, why does he do it? Bhagavan will answer next week. So if you want to know the answer, next Sunday, 11 o'clock. Thank you very much. We have done 3 verses. So just to summarize briefly, sense objects are in the sense organs, but do not come under their sway of likes and dislikes, because they will loot away your joy. And then do your dharma, do what you are supposed to do. Do not do somebody else's dharma. do it joyfully, even if it appears it is difficult, but do what is right and do where you are good at, do what you are assigned. And why does an individual not do what he wants and does what he is not supposed to, the sinful activity? That is Arjuna's question. So we have about 15 minutes or so if anybody has any questions or comments.
Sometimes in the process of improving or bettering your Swadharma, I sometimes find myself trying to emulate the qualities of a leader or somebody much better, whether it be in the same arena as what I do as a for a living versus something else. Sometimes that shouldn't be taken as a Paradharma, meaning not my own.
Right. No, it is good to have a role model or an ideal, you know, somebody like Gandhiji or somebody in your own profession, you know, say you are a physicist, somebody like Einstein or Oppenheimer, or if you are a doctor, you know, some like following Hippocrates. So it is good to have a role model or an ideal to inspire me, and that is good. But what they mean is that if you are not good at politics, don't get involved. Don't run for an election, just unless that is your aptitude. So whatever you are good at, do that, and somebody else's job may appear more glamorous. Oh, that person's job is more glamorous, he has more money, he has a bigger car, but that profession I may not be suited to. So having a role model or an ideal is very good. Yeah, definitely. A person playing basketball, you know, he'll want to be like Michael Jordan, or a person playing football will want to be like Joe Montana. So having a role model or an ideal or a goal is good, but what they mean is do not pick up a profession that you are not good at. Yes, but in your own field and also in my personal life, I can have a role model like Gandhiji or Pujya Gurudev or Shankaracharya or Jesus, or, you know, so having such people as role model, Vivekananda, Buddha, that is good, because that is for my, because these people have accomplished so much in the spiritual field. So in the spiritual field, I should have role models who have spiritually evolved, who have done a lot of good for mankind. In my own profession, I should choose a person who is good, who has accomplished a lot, and I should be like him. Otherwise, we won't excel. So Bhagwan is nowhere, he's saying that you run away from your job. That's another point. He does not say that do not do your duty. Stay and do your duty to the best of your ability. Do not run away from your duty and have a highest goal. Be the best. That's what Arjuna, he tells him. He says, be the best warrior. And Arjuna was. He was the best warrior on that whole battlefield. But he was running away from his duty. So, and trying to do something which he's not equipped to do. And that is become a sannyasi. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Yeah.
So I know in schools, your kids are taught that you have to step outside the comfort zone. You know, you won't know, you can't learn what you don't know. So they always say, do something that you don't know, try to learn something. So if you are someone who's, let's say, you know, fixing or cutting the grass or fixing appliances, for example, but let's say you do a different profession, you're a doctor, let's say, for example. So now you're a doctor and you're saying, well, my dishwasher's broken, I want to see how I can repair it. Even though that's not for you, you get involved in it, let's say you fail, but now you're stepping outside the comfort zone of what you do. So you're like, oh wow, I do like repairing appliances, it's something I can do. So it would be more of a change of a career. Is that something that would be looked at in a bad light, or something that would be encouraged, that hey, try to learn something you don't know, and if you don't know, you won't know for yourself whether it's something that's applicable to your career or to your life?
Yeah, that's a very good question. There's no harm in learning. You know, one has to constantly learn. You can never stop. They say if you stop learning, you stop growing. So learning is good. And if he wants to learn how to repair an appliance and in the process he breaks one or something, it's okay. I was just meaning it as a joke, you know, that, oh, this guy spends 3-4 days and, you know, makes everybody miserable. But yeah, there is no harm in going outside your comfort zone learning. But do not try to copy somebody because my neighbor is repairing appliance. He's able to, Whether I'm able to or not, I'll do it. And in the process, I'll waste so much time, money, and ruin them. That's what they're saying. So do not copy somebody else if you are not equipped to do it. But if you are willing to learn and go out of your comfort zone, definitely. And for the children, it's important for them to investigate. You know, what is it I like? That's why in school, they have them do mock trial. They have them do, you know, this drama and play and art. And so they give them all the opportunities, and children should be given all opportunities. And then ultimately, but generally the child will know and the parents will know what he or she is good at. And so that should be encouraged, what his natural tendency is. That's what I meant. But yeah, there is no harm in learning a new skill, learning a new language. In fact, they say that one of the ways to strengthen your mind is learn a new language after age 50. And not only learn means become skillful in it, able to use it. So yeah, there is no harm in learning new things. It's always good. Even though I'm a physician, I enjoy this a lot more than seeing patients. I would much rather, sometimes I don't open my journal for 6 months, but Vedanta I try to study every day. So. You know, that's how you learn. There's nothing wrong with that. Yes.
It's a little bit different with the kids versus the adults, right? With the kids, they hate to do everything.
Right.
You tell them to do this, they will, I hate this. You tell them something else, they hate that, right? All they want to do is watch TV. Something.
Right, right.
So I think with kids, a little bit of, we have to take into account that they are not capable of making their own decisions.
Yes,
yes. You have to take that into.
No, that's a very good point. Yeah, because kids' dharma is what? Watch TV. That is his swadharma. Let him play on the computer or on the phone all day. Yeah, no, discipline is definitely required. And same thing, Arjuna was also running away and Bhagwan told him, no, it's your duties. So definitely children have to be taught and have to be directed, have to be disciplined, but in a loving way. Not by beating or not by mistreating, but gently explain to them. And yes, and definitely setting limits. Okay, you can watch 1 hour of TV. And then after that, you have to do your homework. Or finish your homework first, and then you can play on your phone. Or then you can go out and play with your friends. Actually, I had a very strict mother. I mean, you never can find a more strict mother than mine, honestly. And she was so strict. I loved to go out and play, spend with my friends, spend the night at my friend's house. And she said, no, unless you finish your own. And honestly, if I didn't have a strict mother, I would have never become a doctor. I was so inclined to have fun, just waste my time, go with friends. And she was very strict. She said, unless you finish your homework, you're not going out to play with your friends. And so I had to. And she, luckily I had such a mother. Otherwise, I would have been a failure in life. So, yeah, no, being strict with the children is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But and guiding them in the right direction is very important. Rashmi, anything you would like to add?
About the job thing that you want to repair a washer or dryer or whatever, but if you are frustrated and you are doing because the Joneses are doing next door and his wife is very happy and your wife is complaining, look, he's doing this and you are not doing
right.
So if you're forced to do it because somebody else is putting pressure on you, your ego is involved.
Right.
So anything you do out of your ego is going to disappoint you in the end.
True.
So what the Lord is trying to tell is that any action which you enjoy, for that matter, the children, they want to occupy into some or engage into some activity. If it is bringing them joy, then obviously it is their tendency. But anything we do against our tendency, which gives us pressure, or it is done because of exterior pressure, is going to bring you sorrow. So you have to know, is this action beneficial to me? At the end of that action, did I benefit out of it, or am I happy doing it? Or because I'm forced to do it because of so-and-so doing it, then you have to learn to discriminate that. And that's where our discrimination comes into picture in the shloka, that paradharma, it is not your dharma. Neighbor may be very well aptitude at doing all those things.
Right.
Especially our Indians and Americans, even I have gone through that. I used to be telling my husband, look, they are so, you know, they look at their landscape, look at their garages, so clean, and look at our house. You know, so it is our tendency, Indian women or American women, but Americans are used to doing that from the childhood, so they are better at it than us.
Right.
So we have to know.
True.
So basically, to summarize, the action you engage into should give you joy, not a sorrow.
Thank you. Thank you. Very good. Very nice.
I had the same issue. In India, nobody paints their house.
Right.
They get somebody to paint it. Well, I came here and I see everybody's painting their own houses. So I told my husband that, no, we have to paint our house by ourselves. I'm going to
don't do it.
Right. Don't do it. Right. Right. Exactly. That is paradharma. Doing what? Yeah. Yeah, same thing. I had said my one thing was I'll buy a house only if I can afford a gardener. If I can't afford a gardener, I will not buy a house. My first condition was that I should be, because, you know, certain things we are not good at. And if we try to mow the lawn or if we try to do things, not that you should not learn, his point is right. But if you are not equipped, find somebody else and you can make much better use of your time in, if you enjoy gardening, that's one thing. Otherwise, you know, in the hot sun, running around behind a lawnmower, that's not for me. So, everybody is different.
Mine is plumber.
Yeah.
I buy a house, no plumbing.
No plumbing. True. Yeah, that's true. Okay, just a couple of announcements. September 2nd, the next weekend, there will not be a Gita class. It's a long weekend. It's a Labor Day weekend. But that Sunday evening happens to be Janmashtami, Lord Krishna's birth. So we are celebrating Janmashtami in the mission. It will be on Sunday evening. I think it's either 6 or 7 p.m. It's written on the board. So please join us. They will have bhajans by Swaranjali group. They will be singing bhajans. There will be Krishna Puja done. And then there will be dinner. So we will be celebrating Janmashtami on September 2nd. So please come in the evening to the mission. September 9th, we'll have regular Bal Vihar. And September 16th is Parents' Day, where parents will be meeting with the teachers. So there will be a half an hour class. And then after that, the parents will go meet with the teachers of each class. Now, we will not have Gita class that day because they have assigned me to talk to the children. It's the other way around. Half an hour, the parents will go meet with the teacher, and then that day happens to be Ganesh Chaturthi. So after that, 1 hour will be the puja. So half an hour, the parents will meet the teachers, 11 to 11:30. And I've been assigned to talk to the children at that time because the children won't be in the classes, they'll be in the hall. So adults, if your children are in Bal Vihar, you can go to your teachers from 11 to 11:30, then 11:30 will have the puja. If you don't have children in Bal Vihar, you can come and sit in the children's class. I'll be talking to them in the hall, or that'll be your day off. So that is on September 16th. I'll remind you again on September 9th. But first half an hour will be parent-teacher conference, and then 1 hour will be Ganesh Chaturthi. That's on 16th. And then September 10 to 14, we have a wonderful teacher, Srimati Padmaja Joshi. She is actually a householder like us, but she then took 2 years off and left her job and went to Mumbai, to Bombay to study, and did the whole course for 2 years. Very good teacher. She does courses online, actually. Nehru and some of the other people do listen to her online. So she's coming here September 10 to 14. From 7 to 8:30 p.m., she will be doing Gyan Sar, which is a book written by Pujya Guruji, Swami Tejomayanandaji, which is the essence of knowledge. Very, very practical book, and she's a very good teacher. So please attend 7 to 8:30 p.m. And then those who are free at lunchtime, 11:30 to 12:30, she's doing Govindashtakam, which is not only a hymn to Sri Krishna, but also has a lot of Vedanta, a lot of teaching in it. So it's not only devotional hymn, but has knowledge. And then there'll be lunch after that in the afternoon. So please make a note of these. And if you go to our website, bakersfieldchinmayamission.com, you will get more details. And if you, as I have said before, if you want to listen to my previous talks, you can go to firstpower.info. Tony has been putting them online. So you can listen to, if you have missed a particular sloka or a Sunday, by Thursday the talks are online, so you can always listen. So thank you very much. Hari Om. We'll end with a closing prayer and then go to the hall for Aarti, and then please stay for lunch. Anybody has any comments, questions, anything last minute? We have
minimalism. Can you have cell phone?
Actually, they do.
So why house and why cell phone? Doesn't make sense.
No, cell phone, because they communicate with the world. They probably have I think they have a laptop. I don't know if they have a cell phone or a laptop. But because that is necessary to communicate. Because I told you there are 4 million followers.
Right, yeah, I understand.
There are 4 million Twitter followers who follow them.
I would think otherwise you'll be homeless, right?
You can rent a home. What they're saying, don't own a home.
Okay.
In fact, there is in Taos, in New Mexico, we went with Vimalji. We went to visit Vimalji. Vimalji has come here a few times. And he took us to this community that lives under the ground. And they use nothing from anywhere. They grow their own vegetables. Through solar, they generate their own energy. And they use minimum, the true minimalism, if you want to see. We visited that whole community, and they use almost no resources from that. They use everything. They have dug their own wells. They grow their own fruits and vegetables. I mean, they generate their own power, and they use very, very, and if you look at their homes, they are so minimally, and they do it out of choice, not because of poverty, but giving up what is unessential. Now, for these people, now, one of those guys actually has a job, and he has 6 children, Joshua and Ryan. So he has, but he has taught himself and his family that to live in the minimum, whatever is only absolutely essential, and go through our list of things and do I need this, is it a need or a want, and then whatever I don't need, get rid of it. So that is the idea of minimalism, and all of us can practice it to different levels. For us Indians, we are so possessive of things. Giving up things is very difficult. People we can give up. Things, no, don't take my this, don't take my old shirt. So that's the point. Being attached to, less attached to things. That is. So slowly it is a gradual change in the way how you view things.
Too many people are attached to cell phone, like.
Yes.
That's number one.
But that's again overuse of the cell phone.
Right.
Unnecessarily, surfing the net and sending messages, talking, texting. Limit your cell phone use, just as we limit our use of TV. Now, cell phone has replaced TV. Previously, people used to watch TV all evening, all night, till 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, midnight. If just flipping the channels, cushion, at least something, and just watch this, watch. So now we have changed that to make cell phone has become an addiction. Yes. Cell phone should be used for its particular purpose, but limit it. Okay. In fact, one home I know that it's a rule that in the evening for about 3 hours, everybody plugs in their phone. Nobody uses the phone. Father, mother, children, and nobody uses the phone, and the phone is plugged in. And then after that time, you do your homework, you have your dinner, you talk to each other, socialize, how was your day? And then after that, okay, 1 hour. So we are limiting cell phone use, yes. That's a good point. Thank you. Okay, we'll end. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhavet. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Hari Om.